Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm working on a sermon. I don't know where you come from. Well, I do, some of you. But I know where I come from. We was told all our life, you ain't nothing, boy. You ain't nothing. Who you think you are? You never going to amount to nothing. And, boy, I wish they could see us now. Amen. I'm going to preach a sermon on I Am Somebody. Amen. I was nothing, but now I'm a child of the King. Amen. Y'all pray for me while I work on that. I don't want to be misunderstood that they would think that we think we're somebody, but in Him we are somebody. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17. Most of you already know the story. Ahab has brought a curse on Israel. God's called a man. He always calls a man. Every time there's a movement of God, God calls a man. And God called Elijah. And he said, I want you to go down there and preach. And I want you to tell them, it's not raining for 3 years till I say so. And he goes and tells them, and then, of course, they want to kill him. Anytime the truth comes out, people want to kill you. Brother Billy Burgess said this morning, said, I'm afraid of some of those things you said while you was preaching because it was on Facebook Live. And I'm afraid a bunch of Muslims or something going to show up down here. I said, that's okay. We got enough people in here that tote. Fella walked out the door this morning. He said, I got my CWP. Y'all know what that means? I didn't know what that means. What does that mean, baby? I said, you mean crazy white people permit? He said, no. I said, but that could. So just let me give you a little advice. If anybody walks in saying, Abba Jabba Guba Dabba Dabba, and make sure it ain't a Pentecostal, and then lay down. Lay down, because you might get hit in the crossfire. Lay down. That's all I can say, brother. I'm laying down. I ain't never owned a gun in my life. I'm just going to lay down and pray. That's all I'm going to do. But when the truth is spoken, it makes enemies. And God had used Elijah in a great way, great, great man of God. And because he spoke the truth, it made an enemy of the king and his wife. And then, so they're in a drought now. Remember that. 3 years. No rain. We had one for 3 or 4 days. By the way, that's what made me think of this. We had a drought for what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks. After it rained for 6 months, we complained about a weak drought, you know. And they're at the end of the drought, really. And so we come to verse 17. Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. My goodness, that's a condensed story of 3 years. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We just want to be in touch with you. That's all. Well, we got a big blessing this morning. Some were touched, some were convicted. I pray some were converted. Yes, Lord. But tonight, Lord, we just want to cherish what you do for us. We want to be reminded how you take care of us, like you did Elijah. I pray for any tonight that might be discouraged or downhearted because you've called them to do something, and because of what they did, they've lost friends or family or jobs or whatever it might be. And you said that would be true. We would. So I pray you'd feed them, you'd supply them, and tonight give them a little spiritual drink out of the brook of heaven, and let us leave better than what we came in, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Have you ever thought about this story? There's a drought. Everything's drying up. Cattle are dying. Camels are dying. Livestock's dying. No water. No water for crops. Now there's a famine in the land because there's no food because the crops all dried up and died. And God hid a little stream. Nobody else knew about it. Hid a little stream just for his man. Amen. A little oasis in a dry and thirsty land. And sometimes I think about our church like that. A lot of people don't know it's here, and it's just a little oasis out here in this dry and thirsty land. Amen. You come in and get your little drink every now and then, and let God, the Holy Spirit, fly over and drop you a little meat, you know, and you get fed. And there's people all over this, they're in this country and they're dying from spiritual starvation and spiritual thirst. And they're looking for something like what we got, brother. Wilt not keep it a secret, though this was a secret. Wilt not keep this a secret. There's people that need it, amen? So God put his man down there, and he didn't need the rain. God supplied him with that little brook. When it says a brook now in the Middle East, when they say a brook, we're talking about a little tiny, thin line of water running through some rocks, you know. It never ceases to amaze me. I go up the mountains, they call something a river. You know, you see the Catawba River, you say, that's a creek. And they say, no, that's the Catawba River. And I said, no, down there where we live, that's the creek. You can walk across it, you know. But by the time it gets down here, it's a river, right? and there's a little stream, little sliver of water running through there. And I imagine there was some grass. There must have been some bushes and trees growing around it to shade him by. And he just laid back. And the ravens would fly over in the morning and drop him a little meat and a little bread. You ever wonder where they got that meat and bread? You ever wondered about? I've wondered about that. And I understand the supernatural and all that, but could it be that little raven went over to the king's house and while the king wasn't looking, he said, I'm going to get my man some breakfast, and slooped down there and got him a piece of bacon off of that plate and took it over and said, there you go, brother. Then he went back, he said, you're going to need some bread to go with that. And the king looked that way and he got a piece of bread and took it over. Could it be? I mean, who knows where that came from? But God sent him bread and meat every day and supplied him with water from that stream. And God did that. Now, he learned some things laying there by that brook. I really believe he learned some things. And you never get old enough or smart enough that you are spiritual enough that you can't learn something. Amen? And when you quit learning, that means you're dead or you're just stupid, okay? And you can't fix stupid, alright? But now, you don't have to be ignorant. And you can learn something. I grew up in an ignorant atmosphere full of ignorant people. But God will teach you some things if you'll let Him. And I remember one of the first verses I read when I first got saved. I started reading the Bible. Here I am over 23 years old, and I've never read a verse, and I'm reading this Bible. And I come up on James, and he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. I said, that's what I need right there. Amen. And I said, Lord, I need some wisdom. I'm not a smart guy. I don't know how to raise a family right. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to even be a good employee, much less a good Christian. Amen. Lord, I need some wisdom. And God will give you. He said, God says He'll give you the wisdom, and He won't fuss at you for asking for it. So I think we learn in all our situations. So I think Elijah learned something. Don't you think he was still learning? Sure he did. So I thought about, well, what would it be that we should learn if we were there? Now, I don't know what Elijah learned, but like I say, what I would learn, and hope maybe you could share it and use it too. If you will, turn to Psalms. If you will, look at Psalms 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. You could learn this while you was laying there eating and drinking, not having to work for it, while everybody else was dying in the drought. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, I don't think, Brother Billy, I don't think that Elijah complained one time about his diet laying there. I don't think he asked for a better bottled water. By the way, if you think bottled water is any different in any bottle with a different label on it, you're one of the biggest suckers that the promotion companies ever found, called water, water, unless you add something to it. It don't matter if it says mountain spring water or desert spring water. If you'll read it, you'll see where it came out of a tap in New York State. You ever read those bottles? Read them. I dare you, read them. But he lay there, and he let the Lord take care of him. And here's what I learned as I lay beside my little stream and God takes care of me. I learned that my steps, if I'm right, the steps of a good man, not everybody, didn't say everybody, the steps of a good man, those that are trying to acknowledge him in all their ways, he'll direct their paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, your step, your life, your next day, your next day, your next day, he's already got it lined up. And if you'll stop and think about it long enough while he feeds you and takes care of you, you can see where he did it in the past. Amen. How many of us would even be here today if it wasn't for the Lord? I mean, I'm on a short list now. It used to be long, amen. And so are some of you. It's just by the grace of God we're even here. Amen. And so, why are you laying there and letting the Lord take care of you? Why don't you think about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? So this is how you do it. One step at a time. One step at a time. Now, I'm an impatient person. I'm not near as impatient as I used to be. And several of you around here done learned that, I guess, the hard way. But I'm kind of impatient, and I used to be a lot worse. And I used to get ahead of God. I'd get ahead of Him. I'd say, well, let's do something. We got to do something. We got to do something. We got to do it now. And I'd jump in and do something, and it wouldn't be what the Lord wanted done. You know, it didn't have to be bad. It just wasn't what He wanted done at that minute, you know. And so the first thing I think that he learned and that we ought to learn is go one step at a time. Elijah didn't lay there but aside that little creek and eat that meat and that bread twice a day and try to figure out something better to do. You know what to do when you don't know what to do? You do what you know. One step. That's all you got. The Bible says there's just one step between here and heaven. There's one step. There's one breath. There's one heartbeat. So we do one step at a time, and then we trust Him to guide our next step. See? I know when we first moved in over here, we got so excited, and it was so wonderful, and we've done a lot of work. We're still doing a lot of work. We're not finished. But everybody, when are we going to build? When are we going to build? And I said, calm down. We just moved in here. When are we going to build? We got all these new people. I said, well, give it time. It'll thin out. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, and people come in and they think they was raised some kind of way or something, and they get in on that. And man, a song like that and testimony like that, boy, this is good. But the minute that I rub them the wrong way, they're gone. If you've been around long, you know I'll probably rub you the wrong way sooner or later. You wasn't supposed to say amen. Dumb Yankee. You're supposed to say, oh, praise God. One step. His steps are ordered by the Lord. And Elijah didn't sit there and try to figure out the next step. He was just enjoying this step. My grand youngest, those little boys, is wide open. And I'm running around like this, trying to catch them, you know. And sometimes we're like that. The Lord's running around behind us, trying to catch us, because we're going to fall and break our stupid neck. Let's enjoy this step. Let's enjoy this Sunday. Let's enjoy this building. Let's enjoy this fellowship, this moment. Amen? Amen. Number two. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. I'm trying to help you with some things that we should learn while we're by the brook. And I would say we live by the brook. He supplies our every need from His riches in glory, does He not? Every meal we get came from the Father above. Every little water we get came from... Do you know there's people all over this world wish they could get a piece of bread and a glass of water and ain't got it? God's good to us. Amen. So, in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, and he said unto them, are you there yet? You want me to wait on you? Verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, would you say Elijah was hidden there? Well, sure he was. He was hiding from the king. The king sent orders to kill him. He was hidden. So, I got to think, there's some value in a hidden life. You know, everybody thinks that the world will be... Everybody wants spotlight now. Everybody wants spotlight. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Everybody wants to be in the praise band. Up front. Everybody wants the microphone. Everybody wants to preach a sermon. Everybody wants to be up front. Amen?
Come on now.
But there's value in a hidden life where, you know, the best Christians are people you hardly ever see or hear from.
Amen.
Now, I'm not putting people down to have talents and things like that, but I'm saying this. Usually the best ones are the quietest ones. They work in the background. They serve God. They serve others. Now, their talent may not look like much to you, but that poor little widow lady that got a basket of food from them this week thought that they had a wonderful talent. Amen?
Amen.
Moses went to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Lived in obscurity. He left his people. He left the Egyptians. He lived on the backside of the desert as a herder and married a herder's daughter way back in there. Nobody knew where he was at. He wasn't sending up flyers or running ads in the paper on YouTube. He was, for 40 years, man was in the desert. Now, look at this. Paul, after he got saved, gloriously saved there in Acts chapter 9, he didn't run around and tell everybody that he was going to be a great preacher. He spent some time in the Arabian desert by himself. By himself. John did his greatest ministry when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he had to live there all alone. His greatest ministry. Jesus went alone into the mountain to get away from everybody else. Now, I don't know why people like crowds and all that stuff. I don't care too much for crowds. But I know this. Elijah learned some things while he was hidden all alone.
Amen.
And it wouldn't hurt you to get alone sometimes. You don't have to have somebody to talk to all the time. Some people talk too much. They need to get away from everybody else. Amen. Thy speech deceiveth thee, he said. But it wouldn't hurt you to get out in the woods somewhere, spend a couple of hours between you and God, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the internet, turn off the iPad and the H-pad and the P-pad and the whatever else pad you got, and turn off YouTube and Bluetooth and turn that stuff off. Turn your phone off. Whoa, did he say that? People are like a bunch of zombies now. Everywhere they go, they're going. And you say, hey, how you doing? They say, hey. And I said, turn your phone off. I might miss a call. Who are you, the president? Are you so important that you can't disconnect from everybody in the world to get in touch with God?
Come on now.
I dare you if you'll show me any of those people who had an iPhone.
Amen.
Or a cheap imitation like I have. Hey, man, I just can't believe it. They're going down the road. That thing, some of them got mounted down on their dash. That's suicide pilot right there. And then I saw one the other day, Brother Jeffrey, she had an iPad and she was driving and she had it sitting on top of her steering wheel watching a movie or something. Going down the road doing 60 miles an hour. Foolish people. Look, God's not going to compete with your iPhone or your iPad or your computer or your radio. Sometimes He wants you to get off in a desert place by yourself where He can feed you.
Amen.
You mad at me yet?
No.
I messed up, man. Psalm 71, verse 1. I really meant for that to make you mad. Psalm 71, verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You know what he learned there laying beside that little creek with the scavenger birds feeding him bread and meat and drinking out of that fresh water fountain? You know what he learned right there? To trust God completely. He didn't have a pastor to go to. He didn't have a priest to go to. He didn't even have a wife to go to. He didn't have any children to go to. He had no friends. He'd lost everybody and everything, and he was put there by that little brook by God, and he learned right there, I can trust God completely. He'll take care of me. If I just do what He says, He'll take care of me. I think we're better at that when we first get saved. I was. When I first got saved, I was better at trusting God completely. I didn't know any better. Hadn't nobody straightened me out yet. You know, them religious people, you'll see somebody come to church and they'll get all excited and they'll be shouting and praising God and crying, waving their hands, you know. And old Sammy Allen said this. He said, don't you worry about any of those people. He said, there's enough old wet dish rags in your church to put out any fire they might bring with them. Look here, when you first get saved, you're like a little child. You trust Him completely. And then as you go on in your Christian life and you're influenced by others and situations and things like that, and you neglect Bible study and prayer and separation like you ought to, then you begin to look for something else to take care of you. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose everything I got. I said, if God don't want you to have that stuff, you're going to lose it whether you lose the job or not.
Amen.
Amen. And you might be better off without that job. It might be what's hindering you.
Yeah.
He said, well, I can't go to church. I have to work. I said, I'd quit. Unless you're a policeman or work in the medical field. I lost many jobs over Sunday work. Because I wouldn't work. When I got saved, I said, that's it. Man, it's getting quiet in here. Did I read the right verse? Trust in Him completely. Trust in Him completely. Your bank account ain't going to help you when it comes to laying in the hospital bed. Your bank account ain't going to help you whenever your youngin' runs away and breaks your heart. Your bank account's not going to help you whenever your friends turn on you and they all desert you. Amen? But He'll walk in when all the rest of them walk out. You can trust Him completely. And then, did you know a lot of times we're often called to sit by drying brooks? This thing was drying up. I can see Him every day, that thing getting smaller and smaller. Y'all ever thought about this? When you read the Bible, you'll think about the picture, the story that's going on. That brook's going from this, and then after about a couple of months, and then a few months, and then months, and then months, and then months. The bread's still coming, the meat's still coming, but we're running out of water here. And have you ever thought about that? He was called to sit by that brook until it dried up or God moved him. A lot of times we sit by drying brooks. I thought of where I've sat by drying brooks. That drying brook of popularity. It won't last. It'll dry up. That drying brook of health. I know when you're 18, you feel like you're bulletproof and 20 feet tall. But wait till you turn 60 and it all starts falling apart. And you get chest or drawers disease. Your chest falls down into your drawers. It's hard to keep breeches up on a funnel. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching the King James Bible now. Amen. But our health, our health. You're not getting out of this world healthy unless the trumpet sounds. Amen. Man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to get sick. Everybody in here is going to get sick. Then I thought about that drying brook of money. Now, my money brook ain't never been real wide. I've never had one of those big rivers. I've never even had a creek, you know. But a lot of people depend on it so much, when the money dries up, what am I going to do? And eventually it will. Now, my wife, she's fixing to retire, and don't get excited. That doesn't mean she's going on Social Security. She ain't getting Social Security neither. I'm withholding off so we can get as much as we can, you know. But she's retiring from her work, and she's going to work part-time. Now, did you know a lot of people won't do that because they worry about their money's going to dry up? Yeah. Well, if God took care of you before, don't you think He can take care of you then? Yeah. And then I thought about that drying brook of friendship. Boy, that's one, ain't it? And kind of like that prodigal son, when you're the life of the party and you're buying the drinks, they all around, buddy. But when the money runs dry, they're gone. They're going to leave you. Amen? They're going to leave you. I'll just go ahead and let's do this. When your beauty's gone, y'all don't get that? Have you not looked in the mirror lately? When your beauty's gone, you ain't 13, 14, 15 no more. Just go ahead and admit it. Amen. And beauty fades. Beauty fades. Amen. And somebody said thank you on that one. But when that dries up, you know, a lot of those quarters is going to be gone. You know. When that, y'all ever notice this? A woman gets up and she'll be dressed and she'll look in the mirror in the morning and she'll say, baby, does this make me look fat? I look fat. I look fat. And of course, he'll lie if he's smart and tell her no. But a man gets up and he walks in there. What a man. Look at that. Look at him right there. Man's too dumb to know they lost their beauty. Amen. His wife just goes, help him, woman. He lets these things dry up in, or he'll let them dry up, and guess what? Now, what happens when things dry up like that? It draws us into Him. It draws us closer to Him. Elijah came to love that little brook. Wouldn't you think he would? He loved that little brook. And for years, he depended on that thing to take care of him. And I know he loved it. I would have. I sat out on my deck this morning when it started raining, and that rain came down that little gazebo we got, and I sat there and I thought, man, I'm in paradise. I'm in paradise. And he loved that little thing. Now, look at Psalm 55:22. I'm almost done. Don't look so nervous. Psalm 55:22. Look at it with me. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He, what does it say? Shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer or allow, what that word means, the righteous to be moved. Did you know that that drying up brook teaches us that we need the God of Elijah, just like God, the God of Elijah needed? Amen? We need that. The God that said He supplied all his needs. The God that made him sweet in his soul. The God that answered his prayers by fire. The God that took him up in a fiery chariot. The God that gave him the victory over the devil's crowd. Amen. The God that carried him to heaven. That brook made him learn to depend on that same God. Amen. Now, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit. Now, he didn't say the Holy Spirit. Thy spirit, spirit of Elijah. The way Elijah was, him and his spirit. Thy spirit be upon me. Did you know that when God lets that brook dry up, it teaches us that in every generation of mankind, we need a double portion of God? Amen. Here's the problem in today's Christianity. they're not looking for more.
Oh, that's right.
They're either satisfied with what they have, or they don't care.
Yep.
They're not looking for more. Look, Elijah, you remember the story of Elijah. He was Elijah's disciple. And whenever Elijah was taken up in, and he told him, I'm going away from here, son. You can go home. I'm leaving. God's going to take me out of here. And when that fiery chariot was coming down, he looked at him and he said, please, please, give me a double portion of thy spirit. I want to be like you twice as much. Amen? And that chariot came down and he told him, if you catch my mantle, you can have it. And he got his mantle and he tested. He walked over and divided the water. Now, that if that brook hadn't dried up, there would have been a generation that didn't know the power of Elijah. And sometimes hard places, hard things make us call on the... I've done it. I went out in the woods all by myself and being in turmoil and being attacked or being forsaken or being hurt in my spirit. And I'd cry out. I'd say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Why can't you do it for me? You did it for them, God. I need that power. I need that presence. I need to know you're there, God, like you were there for them. And sometimes God has to dry up our brook to get us to go hunting. But it does teach us that in every generation of mankind, we need a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist came and said, how did he come? In the Spirit of Elijah. 400 years later, in the Spirit of Elijah. And they thought several times that Jesus, that he was Elijah risen from the dead. Because of that mighty spirit. Now, we don't need a bunch of little wimpy Christians running around here. We need people that will sing, I'm marching upward to Zion. We need people to sing, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. We need that double spirit of what Elijah had. We need to be at least like him and probably double, because see, we face a generation worse than he did. I've been by some drying brooks. I've been placed in my Christian life that when I was there, everything was wonderful and everything was going great, at least I thought it was. And then God stopped me and said, this ain't where you need to be. I'm going to put you over here and I'm going to give you a little bit of meat and a little bit of bread and a little water every day to take care of you. And then you sit there and you wonder, well, what now? What am I going to do now? Well, you're going to take one step at a time. You're going to obey the Lord. You're going to think about the value of that lonely, hidden life. By the way, Christians are usually better when they are lonely. And then you're going to sit there and you're going to think about what God's done for you up till then. And it's going to teach you that you need the God of Elijah. I've witnessed people before and they would be well-off people. Now, it's easy to look at drunk and say, you need God. You say, I need God. Or drug addict, you know. But to find people that are well off.
Yeah.
Well off people. And I've witnessed to them. They say, well, look, God's already blessing me.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing for me. I've got all this. And they were like that the man in the Bible that had so many crops, he had to build bigger barns. And God looked at him and said, thou fool. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. See, they think that material is the blessing of God. It just cause, well, there's some lot of Muslims got stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of heathens got stuff. Amen. It's not a sign that you're a child of God just because you got stuff. And sometimes God has to put you beside a little brook and feed you a little bread and a little meat every day and take care of you a period of time to show you that it ain't about all this stuff of this world. It's about Him and His power and His presence.
Amen. Yes.
When your friendship dries up, your children run off and leave you. You lose your health. You lose your job. You lose that stuff. You'll try to find your little brook.
Amen.
You'll try to find you. Boy, you go looking for God then. Some of y'all been through that, ain't you? You go looking for God. And then you know where He's at? He's right over there with that little living water flowing right down through there. That living water. And you grab hold of that little brook and you pull it up close to you and you start reading it. And every day He'll feed you out of that thing. He'll water you out of that thing every day. And then pretty soon He'll say, all right, now it's time to move on. Turn the page. Hit the reset button. Start over. That brook dried up. Elijah got up. He got to walking. And guess what? He run up on Ahab. He said, Ahab, are you in trouble, boy? And he said, no, Elijah, this is all your fault. If it wasn't for you, it wasn't me in this drought. He said, no, it's you. You're the problem, not me. I'm just a preacher. By the way, you don't know how many times I have to say that. I'm not the problem. I just preach. Hey man, you got a problem. It ain't me. I'm your friend. I feel sorry for you. But it's not. It ain't me. It's you, Ahab. Now, I want you to get all your lying preachers and your lying prophets and those hypocrite religious people you got, and you meet me up there on that mountain. We're going to see who God is. Y'all remember the story? He said, let's put it to a test. Had them 400 prophets of Baal and those other 400 prophets, and he told them how to lay out the meat. And then he said, all right, y'all got all that sacrifice laid out. We built an altar. He said, now go get them barrels of water. Pour some on. They pour a big old barrel of water. He said, go get some more. Go get some more until it filled up a ditch all the way around. He said, now call on your God. See if He'll answer and come down and consume that thing. And they had a contemporary church service, and they started dancing around that thing and shouting and hollering and crying, and that didn't work. They broke out their knives and they started cutting themselves. We call those tattoos now. And they started cutting themselves, you know, and Elijah started making fun of them. He said, maybe your God's taking a nap. Maybe your God's gone to the bathroom and He don't hear you. Maybe He's gone on a trip. Now, wasn't he a mean Baptist preacher to say things like that? Making fun of people's religion. And guess what? Their God never did show up. He said, get out of the way, boys. I'm going to show you who the real God is. And he went out there and he called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God sent fire down out of heaven. And it didn't consume the meat. And it dried up the water, but it didn't just dry up the water. It evaporated the rocks and the dust. It wasn't nothing but a clear burnt spot. And then he drew a line. He said, now who's on the Lord's side? And he killed those lying hypocrites. Now that's the man that's been laying by the brook getting bread and water while they were up there eating grapes and watermelon. While they were having fellowships, he was living by himself. While they were trusting the old fat king to take care of them, he was taking care of him. And that fire came down, it consumed it. And he was a real old-fashioned Bible-toting Baptist. I know he was because he chopped every one of them's head off. Go back and read it. He did it himself. He chopped her head off. Well, preacher, that's mean. You ain't seen mean until you run up on Elijah. Amen. We need some of them old-fashioned, barrel-chested, leather-lung Baptist preachers again. Amen. Amen. And boy, when all that was over, you know, he went up there and prayed, told his servant, he said, you go look now. There ought to be some clouds coming. And that servant came back. He said, you see any clouds? He said, yeah, I saw something about the size of a man's hand. And I'm sure the servant said, that ain't going to do it. He said, well, I'm going to pray some more. You go look again. He came back and he said, man, it's coming. And he went over. And I know this is in the original Greek. Some of y'all ain't never read it. The original Hebrew and all that stuff. But then he came back and he went over to old King Ahab and he said, now look here. You better get in your chariot and head for town because it's about to rain. So he got in his chariot and run. And then while he's going down the hill, Elijah comes running past him. He outruns the chariot. And all he's been eating is bread and water and a piece of meat every day. And his health there and all the rest of them.